أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
اللہ تعالیٰ کے فضل سے آج جماعت احمدیہ جرمنی کا جلسہ سالانہ
With the grace of Allah the Almighty, the Jalsa Salana Germany begins today. In most countries of the world where jamaats are established, jalsas form an integral part of the programs of the community. There was a time when Ahmadis living in India had great difficulty in attending the Jalsa Salana Qadian due to travel and other costs. And for some, it was out of the question altogether to participate. Thus, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, appealed to the members of the Jamaat to save throughout the year to enable them to travel for the Jalsa Salana. However, the situation today is that, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, in countries which are developed or have a large Jamaat, members of the Jamaat can travel by car and other modes of transport to attend the Jalsa Salana. And the vehicles add up to such a large number that the administration has to make special and strenuous arrangements for just car parking. Many of your forefathers would have endured great personal hardship and adversity to travel to the Jalsa. Despite a deep longing to attend the Jalsa every year, they would not have been able to do so. Has this ever led you to reflect on how much ease, comfort, affluence, and facilities to travel you have now? And has this in turn inclined you to being grateful to God the Almighty and has enhanced your faith? Have we aspired to the level of faith and connection with God the Almighty that our elders achieved?
بعض اس زمانے کے بزرگوں میں سے
Some of the elders and saints during the life of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, out of financial constraints, were unable to travel to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, despite a yearning to do so and having believed and accepted in him. Today, on the other hand, a servant and Khalifa of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, participates in a jalsa, and members travel from other countries at great expense to attend. There are many such people among you here. In fact, non-Ahmadis also travel from abroad to attend the jalsa to learn about the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Those who do not even believe in the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. While it is a source of happiness that Allah the Almighty has transformed our circumstances and is spreading the message of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, rapidly in the world, there it is also necessary for the progeny of our past elders and saints to assess their own condition and state. What is the level of our connection with God the Almighty, the level of our faith, and the level of our adherence to divine commands? If, as opposed to the high standards of piety of our past elders, our families are besought with spiritual decline, then this is a matter of utmost and grave concern. Our affluence is useless if we merely accumulate worldly wealth, yet our spiritual bank is empty. Ultimately, a person drowns in materialism and worldly pursuits and forgets God completely. He falls in the estimation of God and ends up in the lap of Satan. For such people, the value of attending the jalsa is reduced to only a tradition or custom. Thus, all of us should strive to make our participation at the jalsa a source of detecting our flaws and weaknesses and bringing about an inner revolution in our state. We should become those who are grateful to God the Almighty. Our affluence and prosperity should be a means of inheriting the blessings of God. We should constantly endeavor and pray that neither we nor our progeny ever incur the displeasure of God the Almighty. We should be those who fulfill the wishes of our pious elders from the past and become recipients of their prayers. We see that by the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Jamaat is expanding and spreading all over the world. God is opening the hearts of people to join the community of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, who hail from the north, east, south, and west in the world. They enter the community to invigorate their faith and strengthen their bond with God the Almighty. May they fulfill the purpose of the Jalsa and may Allah the Almighty continue to open their hearts. Give heed to the purpose outlined by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, for the establishment of the Jalsa Salana, which was to enhance one's relationship with God the Almighty and to lead one's life in accordance with the divine commands. It is to give attention to fulfilling the rights of our brothers and to strive to spread God's message in the world. all of this demands that we transform our state in accordance with God's commands and demands sacrifices to be made. In short, this Jalsa is neither a worldly festival nor an event where one attains worldly objectives and desires. For one, all who come here should engage in regular zikr-e-ilahi, that is, remembrance of Allah, as this is necessary to enhance your relationship with God and to receive His bounties and grace. Secondly, always remember that you should strive to adopt virtues through the Jalsa and then to maintain them on a permanent basis in your lives, which have been commanded by God. With reference to Zikr-e-Ilahi, bear in mind that despite the fact that people may individually be remembering God in their personal ways, it still has a communal effect. Where it benefits individuals, it also becomes a source of attracting the blessings of God for the entire Jamaat. Thus, during this Jalsa, whether it is whilst listening to the Jalsa proceedings or walking outside, engage in constant remembrance of Allah, or Zikr-e-Ilahi. Another benefit is that in gatherings where God is being remembered, it draws the attention of others. Seeing others remembering God stimulates a person to make similar efforts during the Jalsa days. We should avoid useless conversations and meetups during these days. Instead, all should endeavor to make every conversation valuable and purposeful. With the grace of Allah, the good habits we develop at the Jalsa live on for a short while after the Jalsa. And if one focuses, he can successfully maintain these for a long period after. Hence, it is among the blessings of Jalsa that an individual's prayers benefit him personally, but also become a source of helping further the progress of the community as a whole. Through this, others are drawn to the true purpose of the Jalsa and to Zikr-e-Ilahi, to remembrance of Allah. Thus, all those attending the convention, the Jalsa, should spend these days according to the guidance and expectations of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Strengthen your bond with God the Almighty, and also fill your hearts with the love of God the Almighty's creation. Be mindful of your fellow brethren's sentiments and emotions. Even if you have any disputes with anyone, then seek to resolve them at this Jalsa or convention. When we form a relationship with God the Almighty and show sympathy towards mankind, only then can we truly convey the message of God the Almighty. However, in order to attain these objectives, one must strive and make efforts, as this is the condition. The Jalsas or the annual conventions are organized so that one can benefit from the spiritual atmosphere and the remembrance of God, or Zikr-e-Ilahi. And thus, this can instill such enduring habits that lead one towards God the Almighty. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has said in one place, "This world is a temporary abode, and ultimately will come to an end. It carries forth with it the tools that will cause its termination. They are in operation, but we are unaware of it, which is why we must hasten in recognizing God the Almighty. the experience of God's pleasure is granted to one who recognizes Him. Anyone who does not turn to Him with sincerity and devotion does not have his prayers answered explicitly, and some part of him always remains engulfed in darkness. If you make even the slightest of efforts towards God, He will make a far greater effort towards you. However, the initial step must be first taken by you. The Promised Messiah further states, some people complain that they carried out all kinds of virtuous deeds. They offered their prayers, kept their fasts, gave alms and charity, and performed other religious exercises, but they say they received nothing in return. Such people have always been skeptics and do not believe in God the Almighty, or His Rububiyat, or His Divine Providence. Neither have their efforts been solely for God the Almighty. It is impossible for one's efforts to go to ruin and not be rewarded by God the Almighty in this world if those efforts were made for His sake. Thus, to establish a bond with God the Almighty, we must sincerely worship Him and adhere to His commandments. If our deeds are carried out to seek the pleasure of God the Almighty, then we will be able to become the recipients of His grace. We must step out of the darkness of the world and sincerely try to seek God's pleasure. A great favor of God the Almighty upon us is that He continues to send His messengers and dear ones for our reformation. We are fortunate that we have accepted the person appointed by God the Almighty for this age. He taught us and drew our attention to the methods for acquiring the love of God the Almighty, the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the ways of faith. He also directed us towards fulfilling the rights of God's creation in accordance to God the Almighty's revealed guidance. He also drew our attention to refraining from personal and societal ills, and also those ills that are prevalent in a whole nation. He also drew our attention to the rectification of our beliefs and doctrines. So, having done the bet of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, the oath of allegiance, if we still do not pay heed to this, then we are not discharging our responsibilities. Prophets appear in this world in order to bring about a revolutionary change amongst those who believe in them and a complete transformation in their conditions. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was also shown in a vision that he had created a new heavens and earth, and then said, "Come, let us create a human." This new heaven and earth and human in fact refers to that revolution that he was going to create among his believers. The most perfect demonstration of creating a new heaven and earth was presented by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He created a new heaven and the earth, that even the opponents of the unity of God began to believe in Tawheed, the oneness of God. Those who once worshipped idols and denied that God was one, now proclaimed Ahad, Ahad, that God is one, whilst enduring all kinds of persecution. They even gave up their hope of living, but remained steadfast on Tawheed, the belief in the unity of God. Those who were once completely oblivious to the concept of God, now God had descended upon their hearts, and the worship and the remembrance of God, that is Zikr-e Ilahi, now became a more important form of nourishment than their actual physical food. They began to fast during the day and spent their nights offering the Nawafil prayers. Their wives also, out of their love for God the Almighty and to strengthen their relationship with Him, abandoned their sleep at night and employed all kinds of methods to avoid falling asleep. Regarding a female companion, it is said that she had a rope suspended from the ceiling, which she either would hold or from its pull would be alerted. The standard of offering sacrifices for one another was such that they were even ready to offer all their property for their fellow brothers. In fact, they even did so. However, those to whom it was offered to had also undergone a revolutionary change. They would instead thank them and say that may their wealth be a source of blessing for them, but all they required was the direction to the market. They would rather earn for themselves than be dependent upon others. Their standard of honesty and trustworthiness was such that once a Muslim purchased a horse from a village for 100 dinar and went to the market to sell it. At the marketplace, another Muslim told him that the horse was beautiful and according to him was worth around 200 or 300 dinar. The owner of the horse replied, "The value of the horse is 100 dinar, therefore how can I accept more money than what it's worth?" Those who loved wealth and would even deceive others to acquire a large sum, they instead reached such heights of honesty that they now decline to take more money than its value. These were the standards set by those people, and this change was by virtue of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Then he granted women their rights and established their honor and status in a society where they had no regard. This was a remarkable thing and in fact continues to be so. Drawing a comparison between today's society to the society of the time, Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, states that today men raise slogans that they have granted women their rights. However, the reality is that previously men would harass women and beat them, considering it permissible. Today, man continues to torment and beat women. This even happens in Europe and also many other countries where women's freedom is hailed. Lawyers who are sat before me are aware of such instances. The only difference is that now, in spite of harassing and beating women, the men assert that it is unlawful to do so. Previously, man would harass women, beat them and snatch away their rights, but would consider it permissible. Now he still continues to do all of this, but asserts that it is not lawful. Thus, the actions remain the same, but only the apparent assertion has changed. Therefore, we find a revolutionary change brought by the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in every sphere. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has stated, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, raised humans from a condition worse than animals to humankind, then into educated human, and then into godly persons. This indeed was a miracle of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These godly people now began to do everything according to the will of God the Almighty. Indeed, this was the new heaven and earth, and that was created through the advent of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this age, God the Almighty has told true devotees of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to similarly form a new heaven and earth. Is the spiritual and moral condition of the Muslims today the same as those from the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Certainly not. In fact, the barbaric conditions that were prevalent before his advent have once again re-emerged. That is why God the Almighty has sent the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi in accordance to his promise. There was a time when Muslims offered their lives and all kinds of other sacrifices for Tawheed, for the belief in the one God. They spread Islam, and a noticeable change occurred in the world. Today, however, Muslims, instead of Tawheed, are bowing down to graves and seeking help from the dead. They are practicing shirk, associating partners with God. They still profess La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, but it does not bring about any change in them, and the reason for this is they no longer understand its purport. They are Muslims all but in name. There are many among them that despite declaring their servitude to God the Almighty 5 times in the day, in their prayers and in their azan, the call to prayer, yet they still have idolatrous practices. Some of them are very educated. In fact, many are ministers and ambassadors in Pakistan, yet they visit peers or saints, and the interaction with them is as if they worship them. Many of them do not even offer their prayers. They consider that they fulfill the obligations of being a Muslim by simply calling Ahmadis kafir, or disbelievers, and by following the Mulvis, the religious clerics. Then there are the extremist organizations that are formed in the name of Islam. They only seem to know one word, jihad, and that too in a wrongful interpretation. Instead of keeping people firm on Tawheed, the belief in the one God, they are turning the world away from religion and Islam. Thus, it was necessary for the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to appear in such a time, so that he may form a new heaven and earth. Indeed, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, demonstrated this by bringing about a revolutionary change. There was a very famous thief, and many of the other lesser and smaller thieves would give him money as a levy. Hazrat Muslih Maud writes that people would often ask him that has he ever witnessed a sign of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's truthfulness. He would reply that he himself was a sign for the promised Messiah's truthfulness because his life has been completely transformed. He no longer steals or loots people, instead is now occupied in the worship of God the Almighty. And so the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has also formed a new heaven and earth, and he has transformed the lives of hundreds of thousands, thus demonstrating how a new heaven and new earth are created. The promised Messiah formed a new heaven and earth, and we have witnessed many signs and also heard and read about them. We have observed and heard about the lives of our elders, which further strengthen our faith. However, this vision draws the attention of the members of the community to also build a new heaven and earth. Therefore, we need to reflect that after becoming a part of the promised Messiah's community and by doing his bet, his oath of allegiance, what efforts are we making to build a new heaven and new earth? Are we trying to attain the standard set by the companions of the promised Messiah, who created a new heaven and new earth by adopting the true teachings of Islam? Has a change or transformation instilled in our souls to the extent that people can't help but say that they have completely changed? They have created a new heaven and new earth. Therefore, if we have to prove how the promised Messiah created a new heaven and new earth, then our model should be the biggest evidence and proof of this. Establishment of Tawheed, the unity of God, should be our top priority. Our endeavors should be towards strengthening our relationship with God the Almighty. We should strive hard to follow the commandments of Allah the Almighty. Our attention should be focused towards Hakukul Abad, towards the fulfillment of the rights due to mankind. We should not become those who believe in the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, only based on acceptance of his doctrines and beliefs. Rather, practical transformation from within needs to also be witnessed. As I have said, people should acknowledge that he is a completely different person. At one place, Hazrat Musleh Maud elaborated on this beautifully by stating that the signs of the promised Messiah are of two kinds. The first type is when Allah the Almighty takes the onus to fulfill completely by himself. The second type is in which we contribute and these signs are fulfilled by means of us. And we should strive hard to fulfill these signs. There are several types of knowledge that a prophet can comprehend. Otherwise, what is the need of a prophet? The fact which the promised Messiah mentioned after 1400 years already existed, but the Muslims did not have the knowledge, or they did not have the true understanding of these things. For example, the truthfulness of all religions. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, stated that a spiritual leader who has millions of followers, and for a long time these followers seek guidance from this leader. Such a person must be truthful, regardless of the fact that later on his teachings were altered, and that religion did not exist in its original form. There is, for example, Buddha, Zoroastra, Grishin. They were all true messengers of God in their time. Before the advent of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, although the respected elders of different nations did not speak against the elders of other nations and their religious leaders, but they were doubtful about it. They were not satisfied or content. They did not know what the truth or reality was. However, those who believe in the true teachings of their spiritual leaders, their condition is better than others comparatively. If the teachings of these spiritual leaders is followed, the world can attain peace and a prominent change can be witnessed here. On the contrary, the teaching that sprouts negative results is bad. In tamam pehle anbiya ki taleem shaitan ke khilaf The teachings of all the former prophets taught against Satan. No one would have followed these teachings if they were the teachings of Satan. That is what the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has stated. This point was mentioned in the Quran. But no one had knowledge of it, or no one could elaborate on it like the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, did. Despite the fact that Muslims are against the claim of the promised Messiah, they accept the fact that the foundation of all the religions is on truthfulness. A vast number from the educated class amongst the Muslims say to the followers of other religions that, look, how great our religion is. It accepts the fact that your spiritual leaders were from God. Also, there is the concept of Jesus' ascension to the heavens. This concept no longer exists amongst most of the educated Muslims. Even in Pakistan, the Muslim clerics have started to say that this matter has come to a conclusion. No one is coming and no one ascended to the heavens. Hence, the change of thinking which has occurred in others due to the advent of the promised Messiah is equivalent to a creation of a new heavens and earth. These are the signs that were fulfilled by Allah the Almighty Himself. However, the other way of creating this new heaven and earth is by our deeds. We will fulfill these signs. The followers of the promised Messiah will fulfill these signs. By creating a new heaven, not only did we bring a change in our beliefs, rather we also took a bet, an oath of allegiance at the hands of the promised Messiah. On the other hand, the creation of a new earth requires our efforts. A new earth is integral for a new heaven to prove to be beneficial. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that a believer's heart is similar to earth. Therefore, we have to shape our hearts to prove beneficial not only by belief alone, rather through our deeds also. Allah the Almighty has blessed us that we have accepted the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Allah the Almighty wills to shape our deeds into righteous deeds through the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and to fix the earth through our hands. Allah the Almighty showed us the ways through the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The promised Messiah has provided us with the material to do so. It is our duty to put it into use. Now we have to see if we are actually doing this work. Thus, as I stated earlier, if we are fulfilling the rights of Allah the Almighty and the rights of mankind, if our dealing with God the Almighty and His creation is pure, and there is a distinct grandeur in it, then we are certainly supporting the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to create a new earth and heaven. Therefore, it is necessary to evaluate ourselves. I direct everyone's attention towards certain things which the promised Messiah has instructed us. It is fundamental to procure a transformation in ourselves by following every commandment of the Holy Quran. The method which the promised Messiah has elaborated upon this concept has become a source for us to create a new heaven and earth within us. Every one of us can create a new heaven and earth by adopting it and acting upon it. This can also prove beneficial for others. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says at one place, I observe that the conditions of people is such that they plan, but have become oblivious to prayer. Rather, dependence on material resources has increased so much so that worldly planning is considered divine. The concept of prayer is mocked and considered useless. This is a dangerous poison which is spreading in the world right now, but God the Almighty wills to eradicate it. Therefore, God established this movement so that the world gains cognizance of God the Almighty and they become aware of the truth behind prayers and its effects. Therefore, every Ahmadi should keep this objective at the forefront and they should strengthen their relationship with God the Almighty. Then the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, "This is the time for a spiritual battle. The battle has started against Satan, and Satan is attacking the fortress of Islam with all his weaponry and schemes. Satan wants to defeat Islam, but God the Almighty has established this movement to defeat Satan permanently in this final battle. Thus, every Ahmadi should strive in this spiritual battle, and there is a need to advance forward in this. This cannot be possible until we create a new earth and heaven from our spirituality." By saying that this movement has been established to defeat Satan, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, made every Ahmadi responsible to oppose Satan through their spiritual advancement. Then he drew their attention to raise the standard of fulfilling the rights of mankind. While drawing attention towards this matter, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, "Instill emphatically within you that there are two commandments of God the Almighty. The first commandment is to abstain from associating partners with God. Abstain from associating partners with his person, his qualities, and his worship. The second commandment is that one should be kind towards other human beings. Kindness does not mean that it is practiced towards your brothers and relatives alone. It means that it should be practiced towards anyone who is a human being and a creature of God the Almighty. Do not think whether the person is a Hindu or a Christian. I tell you honestly that Allah the Almighty has taken the charge of providing justice to you in His own hands. He does not will that you do it yourself, meaning you should not try to take your own revenge. God will be pleased with you according to your level of adopting politeness, humility, and courtesy. Leave your enemies to God. May Allah the Almighty enable us to fulfill all our obligations. May we become those whom the promised Messiah expects us to be in our beliefs and in our actions and deeds. May our earth become new and our heavens become new. May we become the human beings who support the promised Messiah in creating a new earth and heavens. May Allah the Almighty bless this Jalsa in all respects. May everyone who is attending this Jalsa gather countless blessings. Listen to the Jalsa programs with full attention and try to make it a part of your lives. Every speech and program is very good. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do so.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.
نماز کے لیے وہیں جانا ہے.